Today is Sunday, August the 29th, and if you would, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to share this morning some things from God's Word about praising God. But before I do, I wanted to just look at this section for a few minutes in Ephesians 6. And I haven't seen much news in the last 3 weeks, but heard a couple of things, and I'm sure you've heard some things as well. You know, the situation that just happened at the airport that Dan prayed about, and the persecution of Christians. Of course, that's not new. That's been going on for quite a long time anyway. And not surprising, because God very clearly in His Word points out that our adversary is evil, pure evil. And Peter, by revelation in his epistle, said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour." Peter also, when he was preaching at Cornelius's house, said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who then went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, healing those that were oppressed of the devil. God doesn't give people sickness. You know, the Bible says it was Satan that smote Job. God is a God of deliverance and a God of healing. And there, of course, is a day coming where God's Word says there'll be no more sickness. Wow, what a day. What a day. But we're not there yet. We have an adversary. And Jesus Christ, speaking of our enemy, said that he's a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ said he was a murderer. He was a liar and the father of lies. In fact, the very first occurrence of our enemy shows very clearly that he is extremely adamant against what God says, that God's word is not true. So, you know, that's his MO. And you can see the evil in Scripture as well. I mean, what kind of evil is it to send an army to kill babies? That's pretty evil. So there's evil in this world. And of course, as you know, here in Ephesians 6, as we'll read in a minute, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against... It's not a physical fight. And we are in a fight. I mean, whether people believe it or not, there is a spiritual fight going on. And, you know, that doesn't mean we look around every corner and spiritualize every single thing that happens. You know, a drop of rain hits our windshield and wonder if that was the... We don't spiritualize stuff. Rather, we do what God's Word says. Be sober, be vigilant. And as we'll read here in Ephesians 6, we are to put on the whole armor of God, because we are in a battle. And I think this is a good section to pull out and read on a regular basis. Not only as things going on in our world, but sometimes things going on in our life. It's a good section to pull out on a regular basis to read and to heed. And in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And that might remind you of chapter 1, verse 19 says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" The power of God is far superior than the power of our adversary. In fact, the Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." And so verse 11, God tells us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil." And there are many, many avenues. All the evil in the world originates from our enemy. All of it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. Verse 11 said, put on the whole armor. That put on in verse 11 is like clothes, like you would put a jacket on. You know, when you live in a cold climate and go outside, you know, you tell your kids, put a jacket on. It's cold out there. Here in Arizona, we don't know what that means. Put a jacket on. So we might say here, or put some shoes on. Don't be walking on the sidewalk barefoot. You know, clothe yourself. Put on the whole armor of God in verse 11 and verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And the truth is what we read in the scriptures. That's the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers your heart. It's the breastplate of righteousness. God has made us righteous. He said so in his word. Not that we deserve it, not that we earned it, but because of what Christ did, we are righteous ones. So the breastplate covers our heart, the breastplate of righteousness. One of the great tricks of the adversary is to get you to feel unrighteous, condemned. You know, it says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So we hold fast to our righteousness. If you read the record in Job when he was suffering head to toe with boils, plus all the other losses that he had, he continued to hold fast to his righteousness and did not blame God. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I like that. Not the gospel of condemnation, gospel of criticism. It's the gospel, the good news of peace, the peace from God. And above all, take the shield of faith, which is the right way of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Are those literal fiery darts? You ever got hit with a fiery dart? I never have. A fiery dart. It's figurative. It can be, you know, a number of things, especially thoughts. Fiery darts, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of worry, thoughts of fears. We heard this morning to not be afraid, right? To fear not. Many times God says in his word, the shield of faith, believing you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation to keep your thoughts whole, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the Spirit is part of this armor. And that, of course, is speaking in tongues. So this is a wonderful section that is, I think, good to pull out and read on a regular basis. Read and heed. Put on the armor. We need it. There is a battle going on. And so God gives us this wonderful revelation. So I just wanted to do that before we look at some things in God's word about praise. If you'd go to Psalm 7. I have been lately reading a number of Psalms, and so many times in the book of Psalms, you see praise to God, praising God, boasting of God. And in Psalm 7, verse 17, it says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High, praising our God. Psalm 8, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. It's God that fights for us. Yeah, we put on the armor, absolutely. But it's God who goes to battle for us. It's God who fights for us. It's God that brings deliverance. It's God that heals. Love this verse 3. When I consider the heavens. Now, the heavens is everything above the earth. How far does it go? Nobody knows. I mean, you know, we have our little solar system here, which is in the Milky Way galaxy. And there are, what, millions, billions of other galaxies. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. That God Almighty, the Creator, did all that with his fingers. Now, we can do a lot of stuff with our fingers, right? You know, we do some work. But I'll tell you what, when you got a bolt that doesn't come off, do you normally do that with your fingers? No, we need like a tool, a wrench or something. Our fingers might hold the wrench, but we need the wrench. He did all that with his fingers. He didn't need any wrenches. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? Who are we? He created all of this that we don't even know how big it is with his fingers. Who are we that he would be mindful of us? Oh, my goodness. And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. Seas, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name above all the earth. Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord. With my whole heart I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Look at Psalm 21. So much of praise in the Psalms that we see. Psalm 21, at the end of this Psalm, verse 13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Psalm 22, my God, why? Oh, Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Well, we talk and boast and praise God to one another. Talk about how great God is. A lot of people like to praise themselves, you know. But we praise God. We talk about how great God is, how marvelous his works are, how tremendous his forgiveness is, the great deliverance that he brings, and the great salvation that we have, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we could have eternal life. We give him the praise, the glory. Verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, that's reverence. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and reverence him, all ye, the seed of Israel. So certainly when we receive his blessings, we get an answer to prayer, we certainly thank him and praise him for answering our prayers. We praise God. But, you know, as we've seen here, there's a number of verses that just say, just praise him. Just glorify him. Just boast of God Almighty. Magnify his name. Psalm 44. And verse 8. Look at this. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. No, we just boast about him all day long, how great he is. Psalm 56. It's all over the book of Psalms. These are just some selected verses this morning. Psalm 56, verse 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. That's why I asked Dave to do that song this morning. Let us magnify his word. Let's praise his holy name. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Verse 12 is interesting. Thy vows are upon me. God's vows, God's promises are upon me. What he's promised, he will perform. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? We see in this psalm that praising God, the result of that is not being afraid. We put our focus on God, it gets rid of the fear. Psalm 107, I'm not going to read the whole Psalm 107, but I wanted to show you that in Psalm 107, four times it says, the first time is in verse 8, but it says this four times in this psalm. Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would just praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 71, we're going to read this one. Psalm 71. So a question. Does God Almighty need our praise?
No.
I mean, he's still God Almighty, whether anyone praises him or not, right? And of course, as I mentioned, when we receive his blessings, we certainly thank him and praise him. We ought to. But at other times, we ought to just praise him every day, and not because he needs it. He certainly deserves it, right? But let's read Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day. Just to praise him all day for his goodness, for his kindness, for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, for his forgiveness. So much we can praise God for. Now look at this for some of you that might be over 30. Verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. You know, enemies, we belong to God. We are God's people. You know, since the day of Pentecost, we have this great relationship that God is our Father and we are his children. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were God's people. He was their God by his choice. And as their God, he took care of his people. Well, now, since the day of Pentecost, we are not only his children, but he is still our God. And as God, he will take care of his people, and we can trust him to take out our enemies, whatever they may be. And certainly, sickness would fall into a category of an enemy, wouldn't it? Sure. Now I lost my place. Where are we at?
You just finished 11:10.
10:12. All right, we'll start with 10. For mine enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Not because I'm so good, not because I deserve anything, but because I, you, me, we belong to God Almighty. We are His. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I'll make mention of your righteousness, even of thine only. Some people like to, you know, praise themselves and brag about how much they pray and how much they believe God and how much God's working with them and how spiritual they are. And let's just praise God for how good He is and what He's done for us. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Your righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who's like unto thee? You who have showed me great and sore troubles, meaning God has to allow it to happen. People have free will. We're not at the return yet. God doesn't give us the troubles. God doesn't give us the sicknesses. But we have an enemy. But it says, you shall quicken me, revive, restore me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. Wow. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. We're going to close in Psalm 34. We speak praise and we sing praises. We boast about our God. And think about it. Where does our mind go? Where do our thoughts go when we praise God? When we boast of God? When we think about His greatness, His power? What a great benefit that is to us in trusting Him when we're casting our cares upon Him, when we're letting our requests be made known unto Him. As we praise Him, it certainly builds great trust for His help. You know, when you praise someone, you boast about them, you know, how great they are. Wow, you are such a great painter. Look at the painting job you did here. Wow, this is fantastic. Wow, you built that? Oh, gosh, you are fantastic. This is great. You know, we know what praising and boasting and bragging is. And so much that we've seen here this morning, to praise God, to boast of Him all the day long. When we praise God, our focus goes to His greatness, His power, and what He can do. And it's such a great help to us in trusting Him to bring us deliverance. And there's a number of places that you can see in the Scriptures where great deliverance followed praising Him. Paul and Silas in prison, singing praises unto God, and then, you know, that great deliverance that happened. That record in the Old Testament where the revelation was, send the singers out first before the army. That's a great battle plan, right? We're going to send the band out first to face the army. And they were singing praises to God. And then when they got to the army's already wiped out. There's a number of places like that. So we can also praise God, let's not forget, also by speaking in tongues. Because, you know, according to the Bible, speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues is magnifying God. It's great praise to Him. So, Psalm 34, to end, this is, we're not going to read this whole psalm, but I would encourage you maybe to read it today or this week. This Psalm 34 is a great psalm of deliverance. Deliverance from all kinds of things. But note the first three verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, that verse says the same thing twice. I will bless the Lord at all times. Then his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Says the same thing two different ways. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord, boast in the Lord, magnify the Lord, exalt his name. And again, verse 1, how often should we give God praise? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I've been very inspired lately in reading Psalms and seeing this praise. And in the situation that I'm going through, I have definitely spent time in prayer, in request, in casting my cares. But I've also spent a lot of time in praising God. And that's really helped me to be confident in what a great God we have and how powerful God is. And he's a delivering God, a God of healing, a God who hears our prayers. He is who he says in his word. And so I thought it might bless you this morning just to see some of these verses about praising God and remind yourself to give him the praise he deserves. So, Father God, we give you the praise this morning. For your greatness, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for eternal life that you have freely given to us, and the many benefits and blessings we have, not because we deserve anything or could earn, just because you are such a good and giving God. We praise you for your power, for your wisdom, and Father, for the great privilege it is for us to be called your children. We're thankful for your blessings, the blessings that you have blessed each one of us with, many, many blessings. And your word says that we shouldn't forget them all because we certainly couldn't remember them all. Thank you for your great blessings on our lives. And I pray for my Kathy this morning and ask you to restore her and bring the healing that she needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Could we do that song again? Magnify the name of the Lord. I just think we ought to just sing that again.
Yeah. Do that. Sure.
I'll be posting this teaching on the website, Confidence and Joy, later tonight. I'll be heading to the hospital soon, and we will be back here again next week at this location. And again, thanks, Dave and Sonia, for opening up your home. We'll also, of course, be on the phone line. So God bless all of you on the phone line. I'll be disconnecting now. For those of you that are here, we've got some refreshments, fellowship with each other. And if anybody's interested in seeing Ezra, I do have some pictures. A handsome little young man. I think he's 2 days old already. But it was a wonderful birth. Came a little bit early, and Mike got to be in there for the birth, and everything went smoothly. They're home now, and Betsy got to see her new baby brother, and Jack, the golden retriever. I saw a little video of Mike bringing Jack to the little baby so that Jack could understand we got a new little one there. So one big happy family there in Charleston. So. Love you all. Thanks again for your prayers. God bless, and let's have a blessed and victorious week. So God bless you all.
Thank you.